Welcome to From Zero to Millions, Accounting Edition. I am Bilal Mihana.
And I'm Kelly Roars. We're here to share our wealth of knowledge on running a public accounting firm. Whether you're a seasoned CPA, an aspiring accountant, or a business owner seeking financial guidance, join us for valuable insights and practical advice.
Let's dive in.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of From Zero to Millions, Accounting Edition. Today, Bilal and myself will be talking about the PTE taxes. I'm sure PTE has been thrown around. You should be very familiar with this as it's been around for a couple years now. But what is it? How do we provide it for our clients? How do we analyze these things? Where do we find information? We're going to touch upon all of these things because I think it can be really valuable to you and your clients. And I'm still seeing a lot of people who are not familiar with it.
Really? I'm surprised.
I recently was on Stephen Jarvis's podcast, the Retirement Tax Services podcast, and we spoke about PTE taxes, and I've actually been contacted by other CPAs afterwards, like asking for more information.
CPAs, not financial advisors.
Not advisors. I think people get scared of new things when they come out. Let's just start from the top. How did this come about, right? And what happened in 2017 was the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and that changed the SALT deduction. The state and local tax deduction got capped at $10,000 on the federal level on an individual tax return. And that really hurt all these high-income tax states, like New York.
California.
Yeah, like California. When did they really start pushing it? Maybe 2021, people really started figuring it out. The states started figuring it out.
2020. Oh, hold on. Was it 21? Sorry, 21. 21, you're right.
Some states started earlier than others, but I think that they were trying to find out the legal route where they can do this workaround for business owners. Because basically what it is, the PTE tax is this pass-through entity tax, and it's a tax that's associated with pass-through entities. It may mean S corporations and partnerships are the two big ones, and some states actually allow you to pay it for a single member LLC. Not all, but some. Connecticut does allow you to do that. Basically, this tax is paid on the business level, and it is fully deductible on the federal level, which means you get this workaround to that state and local tax cap, and then it flows through to your personal tax return. And most of the time you get an estimate as if you paid a personal estimate on the state level, and it's fully deductible on the federal level. So if you're in the highest bracket and you're in a 37% bracket and you are paying $10,000 for this tax, you're saving $3,700. It can add up really quickly.
100%. And it's a benefit because you have to pay the tax anyways. And that's something that the client will save a lot of money on taxes. They can prepay and overpay and play this game, to kick the can down the road type of strategy. Because you end up overpaying on the state, you get the bigger tax deduction. You get the money back right away, but you're still paying less federal taxes. There's a twist. There was a post on Facebook, one of the Facebook groups they posted. The premise of it is that what is the PTE considered for federal purposes? So like if you look at the ordinary and necessary sections 162, that question was posted on Facebook. Like, is the PTE tax payment necessary for the business? Because especially flow through, it is not considered.
I don't think it's necessary, but it is necessary for you to pay taxes.
The state came up with that.
Yeah.
Right? I think she mentioned section 162 or section 212. I think that was the two sections that she mentioned. But yeah, so that was a question that person posted. I forgot her name. It was a debate because I never thought about it this way. Because the IRS can come in and question you on, and they can challenge you on this one. And IRS did kind of approve it. That's why the states have been very comfortable applying this strategy, because the state IRS kind of let it go and kind of gave it a blessing of doing it this way. But that question came up a few days ago, and I never thought about this way. But as you said, if the agent challenges you on this and asks you, is this order necessary for the business expense, what would you say?
I would say, yeah, it's necessary for me to pay taxes. Honestly, I think it's like a non-issue at this point because almost every state that has an income tax has enacted this tax. So you think the Fed is going to come after every single state? That sounds like a big waste of money.
Exactly.
And I guess here's the other twist to it. It's like the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expires next year, right? It expires at the end of 2025. A lot of these regulations are going to go away. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. It depends on the political environment and it depends on if there's extensions. I think some things will stay and some things will go. But to be honest, now that there is a workaround in all of these states, I think that the $10,000 salt cap is probably here to stay.
You think so?
It's hurtful for high income earners in high income tax states that are not business owners. So it still is revenue generating for the federal government. Basically, this PTE tax is useless if the salt cap is lifted. Because again, like you said before, just to revert back, it's basically just paying your tax out of your business and having to file and reconcile for it, maybe on the state website or on your corporate tax return, instead of paying state estimates. It's like I'm just paying it from one pocket instead of the other. It's not really costing your clients anything unless they have to pay you to do the work.
Yeah, I think if the salt cap goes away, it becomes more useless because the PTE has deadlines. Like in New York and Michigan has a deadline. If you don't pay after a certain date, you can't apply for the whole year. So it becomes more useless because it's more sensitive to when you apply it, when can you pay it. You file extension, you don't file extension. There's all different things that you have to do throughout the year to make sure you qualify. Like California has a deadline. New York has a deadline. And Michigan has a deadline. If you don't file extension after March 15 or pay before March 15, then you don't go for the whole year.
Honestly, this is the worst part about the PTE tax. And I think this is probably what frightens people to not really maybe pursue this for their clients. But every state has different requirements and every state has different due dates. And like, I'm glad you brought up the deadlines because I think New York is the worst. New York requires you to make an election to pay the tax. So I have to go on to the New York State website and your accountant can't do this. You have to do it as a business owner. Yeah, ridiculous. So they have to have their own online account. They have to go in. They have to say, I want to elect to pay this tax. And then I can go ahead and pay the tax and file the return. But in New York, it's actually like a separate return, almost like a sales tax return that you have to do on the state website. It's not included in the corporate tax return. And if you don't make the election by March 15th, you can't do it for the rest of the year. So you can't do like a late S election and be able to utilize this tax, or you can't create a company in the later part of the year and be able to elect this tax. It doesn't really make sense, especially because they're getting paid earlier than they probably would be. And there's a couple of different nuances. I'm hating on New York State right now, but you also can't roll forward any refunds. You have to get it refunded to you. So if we're reconciling it and it's also due March 15th and my client is owed $2,000 and they can't apply it to the next year, they actually have to get a refund and it has to be by check.
Oh, so another 3 months.
But then the state of California, you have to pay 50% of the tax by June 15th and that's really your election. And then it's reconciled on the corporate tax return. There is no separate filing. So it's actually even easier to do in a state like California. Yes, you have to remit the estimates, but they can just be made through the state site when you have to make corporate tax estimates anyway. Like, it's a no-brainer.
Michigan, you have to make a payment before March 15th or they're allowed to do an extension. And there's no like requirements how much you pay, just something. You pay a dollar. I have a plan in North Carolina and they still do paper. There's no online portal for PTE. So you have to mail a check-in with the form. So every state is different. Yeah, New York is the most difficult, most hoops to jump. But at the end of the day, it's a value add for the client. You can charge for it. Because if the client is capped at $10,000 and you can add another 30 Rand deductions, and he's at 37% bracket, that's $11,000 tax write-off he's already going to pay. I have clients that pay up to $200,000 in PTE taxes every year in California. So well worth it. It's well worth it to pay it. And I think that PTE will stay. You know why? Because you're paying taxes, right? The state income tax on a business. So the business makes $1 million. So the only thing that is in the automatic deduction, staying local, is withholding from your W-2 and property tax.
Personal state taxes are deductible as well.
The personal income tax for the business?
I mean, it's still a personal tax. It's not really a business tax. That's the problem with this thing. It is hard to kind of wrap your head around, right?
It's been a minute. I mean, since 17, they capped it. We have to have the CPAs on this to get an idea of how it was before. If somebody made $1 million from the business and made $200,000 from the personal from the W-2, in the itemized deduction side, can they itemize the estimate payments and put it there? Or only the withholding from the taxes and from the W-2 is put in the automatic deduction section. End of the day, I think having the PTE part of your tax plan strategy for the client, it's a big, big benefit, big value add for them and that you can charge a premium for. It's a no-brainer.
And it really only makes sense for certain types of businesses to pay this, right? You really should be in a high income tax state. And you should have profit. And the profit should be pretty significant. And when I say significant, it should be at least $75,000 or more. If you're only paying, 3% for your state income tax and your profit is $25,000, the tax savings aren't there for your accountant to come up with this whole plan and do the calculations. And it really does have to make sense with your tax profile. So you have to have a pretty large profit and your state income tax needs to be high enough. Does that make sense?
I agree. If you have a threshold that is a little bit lower, but if you're doing like multiple states, I think threshold should be higher. Yeah, if you do like, we're doing about like 20 states and we don't do a PTE for everybody and figure out what's going on and have somebody tracking all these different things. It has to make sense. And yeah, if a state has, 3-4%, if it makes $50,000 a year, it's not worth going through the hassle to save a couple bucks and try to find different ways to save that money. But yeah, if somebody's not doing it, this is an easy win for clients to see from the tax return. I got a few clients last year by seeing this on the return. I always look at the business return, personal return, and just figure out, okay, well, is there any tax forms that you can see? Michigan has forms. I think California has forms that you can look at the state returns and see if they've been applied or not. And I will see empty box, boom. I can save you $30,000, $20,000 in taxes, just like that.
You bring up a really good point. If you're reviewing, leads and potential new clients' tax returns, this is something easy to pick up on in the initial consult. And funny enough, I did get a new client last year as well, and their profit was $400,000, $500,000. New York company, New York City, not doing any PTE tax. They were never aware of it. And it was a pretty significant firm here on Long Island. And immediately, I'm able to save the guy $15,000. That's crazy. $15,000 that you're literally not doing anything to save that money. Like, you're paying something out of the business instead of paying it personally. Like, people, you have to get this in your tax planning structure. You need to make your clients aware of this. And yes, like you said, sometimes it doesn't make sense. For instance, I have a client in like Virginia or DC. Some of these things are still being debated on whether it's deductible or the state gives you credit for it in another state. So there's definitely nuances here in New York too. Connecticut, New Jersey, New York. Somebody lives here, they're doing business here. Like, a lot of times you do get non-resident credits as well, but there's a lot of moving parts. Yeah. It's important to do your due diligence. And at the end of the day, I think it's important to be able to research these things and have some sort of software to be able to give you the answers that you need, because it's not straightforward. And the regs for each state have changed, I think, a number of times since it's been enacted, because a lot of them were phasing it in. The due dates changed year over year. So how are you obtaining this information, Blau?
CCH, we have CCH Tax Research. We have a guy that handles that in our team. Make sure it follows through, make sure we're compliant on all the states, especially due dates. We use ClickUp for management system. And we have a ClickUp management system for that project, for PTE. So we track it, like estimate payments. We send out a blast for all our clients that have PTE and remind them that the payments that are due by March 15th for the federal, the state, and a PTE. So it happened for certain states like Michigan and New York, this falls off March 15th for the election. Same thing for the federal estimates. So we send out email blast. We use TaxDome for email blast for clients. We send reminders to TaxDome for the PTE payments. And we get confirmation from clients on those. It's just to track it better. But yeah, it's all about projects based. Make sure that you're tracking it better. And then at the end of the year, we do a lot of tax review research as a team on all the states that we are doing PTE in. But I would say start with your own state. Your own state would be the best starting point. But it's an easy win for potential CPAs to get your clients if you're not implementing it. So it's easy for me to, hey, Kelly is not doing the PD for her clients. I get a couple of tax returns. Easy win for me to say, hey, I can save you 10 grand. I can save you 20 grand. I can save you 30 grand taxes on this. It's a win-win for me and you. So just like the home office or the PTE or certain deductions, I can deduct this, deduct that. How are you currently doing it with your firm?
I am using Checkpoint. So that's a Thomson Reuters system mm-hmm. where we can research various states' requirements. Well, for the most part, I have clients from here to California. I'm familiar with all of the states that we're currently handling. If new things come up, we do the research. But a good resource is actually the AICPA has a tool as well that can provide resources by state. So check that out. I don't know if you need the tax section membership or not, but I know that they definitely have those resources available. So if you want to start there, that's great. We are also tracking things in TaxDome. We're building it out to track more and more in there. But for 2024, we will be tracking the PTE taxes in there. Prior to that, we were using OneNote and Excel. As we move forward, we are getting better at these things. But the moral of the story of today's episode is if you're not familiar with the PTE tax, get out there. Educate yourself, educate your clients. You can save your clients thousands of dollars, if not tens of thousands of dollars. And this is every year. This is not a one-time thing. And again, it's great to be able to tell somebody like, hey, I can save you $15,000 and you don't need to pay anything. You don't need to make a $100,000 contribution to your retirement plan. You don't need to buy a piece of equipment. And this is like the best tax savings tool.
So no matter what, there's something you have to do. But if you do it this way, you get savings. That's easy, very easy win. Convincing for clients.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So we're here to help you, educate you, help you make more money, help you make more informed decisions about your practice. And I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. We're signing off.
Before we sign off, remember to share this episode with fellow accounting professionals.
Building the firm of your dreams is a journey best taken together, and by sharing, you're helping others on their path to success.